It's 40 years after the worst nuclear accident in human history at Chernobyl on the 26th of April, 1986. The resulting 2,800-kilometre Chernobyl exclusion zone has become, literally by accident, one of Europe's largest nature reserves. A team at Ukraine's Institute for Nuclear Research has been researching animals within the exclusion zone, and we're joined now by Dr. Eugene Tukhylenko, who's a senior researcher at the Institute for Nuclear Research and has been leading some of the research that, as it happens, has received some funding support from Australia. Dr. Tukhylenko, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Eugene, I wonder if you could tell us where you were and what you remember of the actual accident back in 1986.
Actually, it was so long and I was a child at that time. So just some pictures, not like a full story. Lots of people that tried to get away from there because there was no exact information, you know, because of system and because that political system, I suppose, also have not enough information. So people tried to escape, especially people with child, try to escape from Kyiv, where I live. That time, it's about 120 kilometers from that nuclear power plant. So my father and me, we just escaped by local trains. We go far away to the relatives. I was almost lost during the time, but I think in that time, it was just no information and it was a big problem.
Yes, but as you say, if one thinks of Chernobyl, you generally think of people going away from the disaster and the radiation. But you've, of course, become a nuclear researcher, a scientist. So now you've actually gone to the exclusion zone to do your work. How long have you been working in the exclusion zone? And could you describe what it's like for us?
After I completed my higher education, I worked actually in the Center for Radiation Medicine, but it was mostly laboratory study. About 16 years ago, I joined Professor Timothy Misso, who worked at the exclusion zone, and I liked that place. And when I saw a possibility to join the research there, I do it. My contribution, I would say, getting bigger in time. Now I'm doing it as a principal investigator for several projects. One of these projects related with Australia. I'm very grateful to the Australian Academy of Science and Bioplatforms Australia for possibility to fulfill my dream with this research. I dreamed about one kind of research and it came true. It's great.
So it's still an exclusion zone. Do you have to limit your time in the exclusion zone?
As for people who work there, there is quite strict radiation safety rules. Everyone have to follow them, definitely. So these rules, actually, they internationally accepted limits. So we did not break these limits. And I consider that radiation risk as appropriate.
Okay. So to give people on the other side of the world a sense, how dangerous is the Chernobyl exclusion zone for people to be in 2026?
Okay, I see the question. First, I would like to underline, and it's important, that we cannot say radiation just without the clarification a dose. The dose is important, it's matter, because the dose will determine the effects. If the dose is very high, it causes acute radiation disease. But this dose is really huge. There is impossible now to get this dose, definitely. For this acute radiation disease, it was for firefighters that come to the fire in the first night of accident. But now we can say about chronic low dose exposure. And also it should be pointed that exclusion zone that was established when we have no information, it just was 30 kilometers from the power plant. And that's all. After that measurements was provided in 90s, this zone was a bit exaggerated. But anyway, there is quite clean areas that was not impacted.
I see. So there are some areas, because it was like 30 kilometers as a fixed area around the accident, there are some areas that are heavily affected and others not so much.
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay.
Not at all, because it depends on the wind.
Interesting. Eugene, having worked in the Chernobyl exclusion zone, what can you tell us about the effect of the accident on the health of people in Ukraine, particularly today?
I'm definitely not an expert in medicine, but as far as I know, there is only one scientifically proved effect. It's a cancer of thyroid gland. For the other effects, there are lots of controversy. It's quite a complicated question, but to prove radiation effects, it should be clear dose effect. So without this, we cannot prove it was radiation impact. It could be also lifestyle, stress, and so on. There was like abandoned village. I mean that people who were removed, it was a stress for them because just leave forever a home, it's a stress. It could be stresses that related with life in that time because it was changing from one state to another state, lots of reasons.
And you mentioned that there is one category of cancer which has been clearly connected to radiation exposure. I think you said thyroid cancer, is that right?
Of course. There is cancer of thyroid gland. It was caused, it's quite short-lived radioisotopes, but it includes in food chains. And because of the concentration in one small organ, there is huge dose. And as a result, there is cancer of this thyroid gland.
And do you know how many people were affected by this?
I can say that it was about 5,000 cases. But this cancer, fortunately, is curable. And the mortality rate about 1-2%, something like that.
So as I mentioned, there's quite a lot of commentary now on the fact that the exclusion zone has seen a revival of the natural environment and animals as well. Could you describe what you see of that?
It depends from dose. So from radiation impact, the most contaminated area near the power plant, so-called red forest.
Yeah, the red forest. So that's the most contaminated area, yes?
Most contaminated and most interested in view of radiation impact. But if we say about big animals like horses, moose, lynx, and so on, these animals can travel very big distance. And of course, that forest, as any other forest, is abundant with life. Definitely. But it's not because of, for small animals that have much less home range, it's more important. And these animals that I studied also is a very good model animals.
I see, it's because they're smaller animals, so they don't travel as far, and therefore you can observe them living within the more affected zones. Is that right?
Sure.
So I understand that one of your research projects, and one of the ones that's had some Australian support, is into bank voles. So let's start with the first question. What are bank voles?
Okay, bank voles is just a hamster, let's say. So there are lots of mice. Lots of people say it's mice. No, it's not mice, to be strict. It's hamster. In food chain, it's very important for other predators. And it's included because it's omnivorous. And they has exposure from internal exposure from ingested isotopes, as well from external radiation from isotopes in soil.
I see. So they're getting affected both by what they eat and by what's in the soil. And because they are omnivorous but also eaten, they're a key part of the whole ecosystem.
Sure. For Europe, bank vole is the usual forest animal. Population is very stable. But if we think about the most contaminated place, red forest, it is a question if animals really adapted there or there is like quite harm for them and they breed not so successfully.
Okay, yeah. So how easy is it for you as a researcher to tell if the voles that you're observing in, say, the Red Forest actually do spend their whole time in that area?
Good question, actually, because previous study studied radiation effects. But the problem was unknown exposure history. And now we established a new approach. We use open field enclosures. in most contaminated and in control areas. So we marked animals with radio frequency identification chips. So we know for animals we study, we know absolutely their full history. We can estimate their doses more precisely. And I think for radiobiology is really important because radiobiology is a link between the dose and effect.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Dr. Eugene Tukulenko, who's a senior researcher at the Institute for Nuclear Research, which is part of the National Academy of Sciences in Ukraine. So, Eugene, what have you found about the effects of radiation on the bank voles in the Red Forest that you've studied?
Our previous research definitely showed that microbiome of animals is changed. There are some physiological changes. There are some data, but I'm really very careful for saying that there are really such effects. Except there are some changes in molecular level, definitely, some physiological changes, changes in microbiome. And now, with the help of Australian facility, I think we can say more about how metabolism is altered.
What you're seeing in bank voles, is that consistent or different from what's been observed in relation to other animals?
I suppose it's a good mammalian model. So, of course, that bank vole is not a human, but the data we reached, it could be related with our understanding what will be for human and for other mammals also. So it's just a good model animal.
Have you developed a theory about the extent to which bank voles or other animals can adapt to radiation contamination?
Now we are exactly research this issue. Because our previous study, they suggest about negative effects of chronic low-dose radiation for population. But how it exactly realized, it's still a question. Actually, research is more questions than answers.
Indeed, indeed. Obviously, the whole of Ukraine, and therefore including Chernobyl, has been afflicted by the Russian invasion. What impact has the war with Russia had on your research, Eugene?
That winter, I did a field experiment about survival of animals in the enclosures. The war was not expected. So this experiment was really disrupted. For now, I can work still, are not reachable now because of destroyed bridge. And the areas that close to the border also is impossible to use. But anyway, the most interesting area, Red Forest, still, fortunately, we have to use.
And Eugene, as I mentioned, we are speaking around the time of the 40th anniversary of the accident. How is that anniversary being noted in your workplace or in the exclusion zone?
It's a painful question because, you know, that mass media remember that Chernobyl accident in one day and no other information from that other days. And mostly this information has exaggerated that radiation impact. And sometimes, in my opinion, it's not good because it can provoke that further radiophobia and it's quite public sensitive issue. And I mean that talk about radiation, use radiation, and so on should be based on clear scientific information.
Dr. Eugene Tukulenko, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you, Julian.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.